It's time for Brother Larry's Sinner's Sunday. Oh yeah. You tell him, Larry. Brother Larry coming at ya.
Thank you, Brother Dre. Thank you, Lariettes, and welcome to Sinner's Sunday. Saturday night's longest after party, where the beer is cold, the ribs are hot, and the chicks are pointy. Now, last week, when we established that Jesus was indeed a party animal, and kind of a wise-ass who liked giving people snarky nicknames, I promised to reveal what Jesus' secret name is, and that I shall do a little later in the show. So stay with me. There are all these Jesus hustlers out there on TV, especially at late night. As I mentioned in last week's episode of the regular show, I watch very little TV these days because I have declared it FWOT. That's F-W-O-T. Fucking waste of time. Check out last week's episode for lots more about FWOT. Now, some of these TV preachers are actually entertaining as hell. And one of my favorites is Benny Hinn with his fastballs of faith. He'll wind up like Clayton Kershaw and hurl the spirit of Jesus at his followers. And the energy is so potent, they fall over like bowling pins. Sometimes he'll grab their faces like Steven Seagal, but without giving them the death twist. And from that, they also fall over unconscious. Of course, Benny always has a few guys standing behind these folks to catch them, just in case. Some dude made a video cutting Benny's fastballs of faith to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor by Drowning Pool. It's funny as hell, and I've posted a link to it on the show page at thatlarryshow.com. Check it out. Now, despite some troubles with the IRS, Benny's still going strong. His TV show, This Is Your Day, still plays on many religious networks, including, and I'm not making this up, the God Channel. You know, I am ordained in multiple faiths, and even I just heard of the God Channel. I may have to start watching that. Maybe they'd like to carry this show. I just discovered another evangelist with a fantastic name of Cash Luna. You gotta love that moniker. Cash operates out of Guatemala, and he's built quite an empire. 7-figure Facebook following, live shows all over Central and South America. He recently healed a woman at one of his crowded concert dates. She was disabled, and after praying over her, Cash declared her healed, and the crowd went wild and the pesos flowed in. He made over $1 million American at that very show. The next day, she died of a heart attack. Cash refused to admit that his healing had not worked, saying, God created Nancy, and he was God who called her back. And who can argue with that? And really, we often say stuff like Cash said, don't we? Some guy walks away from a car wreck that should have killed him 5 times over, and everybody says, it was a miracle. A month later, when he's dead of an aneurysm, the same people say, God called him home. And now, Billy Graham is dead. I suppose Billy was one of the most legit evangelists ever. I don't think he ever claimed to heal anybody, but he did a lot of praying. I suppose he was the biggest of the big time, and as far as I know, he practiced what he preached. There were no scandals with drugs or hookers or embezzlement. Unlike most of his peers, he talked the talk and walked the walk. The evangelist thing goes back a long, long way. If you think about it, the first one may have been J.C.'s cousin, John the Baptist, who was running around screaming, Jesus is coming! Long before anybody else, John was kind of a wild man. He'd gone Borneo. He wore camel hair rags and ate locusts and wild honey. Not too appetizing, but at least it wasn't anything soy-based. I wonder what it was like before they all went to visit John for the first time. Maybe old man Joseph sat down J.C. and said, Now, son, listen, we're going to visit some of your mother's people, and one of them is your cousin John. He's a little touched. He's a jailbird. Likes eating crickets and shit. So when you meet him, just pretend he's not a fucking head case, okay? And since Wild Man John, there has been an incredible array of guys and a few chicks running around preaching. I suppose the early ones were in it for the right reasons, but somewhere along the line, weasels and conmen and hustlers took over. Some of the best have been right here in the U.S. of A. There was a guy in the mid-20th century who was nothing short of fabulous, Daddy Grace. He was a railroad cook, and one day he got a hold of a Bible, grew his fingernails 6 inches long, painted them red, white, and blue, put on a whole bunch of bling, grew his hair down to his shoulders, called himself a bishop, and he was off to a fine and lucrative career as one of Christ's emissaries. How lucrative? Just you wait. Daddy Grace was certainly a pioneer in his field. He sold burial plots. In heaven! He went one better than Benny, or these guys who cure arthritis and psoriasis. Daddy Grace raised the dead. That would have been his younger sister, Janine, who thereafter traveled with him on his missions all around the country as proof positive that he had raised the dead. And Daddy Grace traveled in style. He had not one or two but three, count 'em, chauffeured limousines, a Packard, a Pierce Arrow, and a Cadillac. And if there was not a hotel nearby grand enough for a man of the finest cloth, no problem. Daddy owned 42 mansions around the country, including a Twin Tower apartment building on Central Park West, a castle in Havana, and the crown jewel of his holdings, an 85-room mansion right here in the City of Angels. Nice work if you can get it, huh? There have been many other big leaguers. Daddy's competitor, Father Divine, was a kick-ass preacher man. The full name he gave himself was Reverend Major Jealous Divine, managing to combine spirituality, the military, and anointing himself jealous as in a jealous god. They say his real name was George Baker, but nobody knows for sure. He was working as a gardener in Baltimore, and he visited California. Well, of course, it had to be California. And when he returned, he was a different man. Well, not even a man, because now he was God. He had a new belief system with himself at the center of it. Father Divine. Part of his message was that positive thoughts created happiness and prosperity, and negative thoughts ruined everything. Well, damn if it wasn't true. And pretty soon, he had himself a mansion out on Long Island, and one night, he threw a party for 3,000 of his closest friends, and it got a little noisy, and the killjoy neighbors bitched, and the cops locked him up for disturbing the peace. They actually held a trial for this Mickey Mouse beef, and the judge, Judge Smith, was no fan of the preacher man, He called Father Divine a menace to society, and then threw the book at him. A year in jail, and a $500 fine. Harsh, right? Well, a couple of days later, the hard-ass Judge Smith is dead of a cardiac episode, and when the press asks Father Divine for a statement, he says, "I hated to do it." I love this fucking guy. There's a lot more to Father Divine and Daddy Grace, and there were dozens more with equally bizarre stories. Maybe we'll do some special episodes and go into greater depth on these guys. They really are fascinating. And there are plenty of them around right now, just like the old-timers. But they have lawyers out the ass, so we won't be mentioning them by name. One of my favorites from recent times was the amazing Dr. Gene Scott. Oh, he was a blast. He looked like some old sea captain, flowing white hair and a white beard trimmed close to his very heroic jawline. Whenever I'd come home from a night's debauchery, I'd flick on the TV and scan the upper channels to see if Dr. Gene was on deck. He actually was something of a legit biblical scholar, held a PhD from Stanford. He could quote scripture with the best of them, and his interpretations were difficult to argue with. In all likelihood, Dr. Gene is a big reason I'm doing this spin-off show right now, because to watch him, you just had to believe that he was A, take-no-shit guy, and B, he did not give a rat's ass what anybody thought about him. He was going to say what he wanted to say the way he damn well pleased. Here's a clip of him using one of my favorite words, pissants.
But those little pissants will crawl up your thigh and then without warning will bite you real high.
And he actually had a song about them. Kill some pissants for Jesus. Here it is.
Kill some pissants for Jesus. Grind them right through the floor. Kill some pissants for Jesus. And then kill one pissant more. Be sure to give God glory. For knowledge to set spirits free. Kill some pissants for Jesus. Then kill some pissants for me.
If Dr. Gene Scott were alive today, I would definitely be a contributor to his ministry. The guy was fucking cool. He had the most amazing method for soliciting donations. He'd wear kooky hats, maybe an English pith helmet or a sombrero. Hey, that's cultural appropriation. He'd talk for a while, and then, if the phones weren't ringing with donations, he'd punish his viewers. How? Well, he had the most hideous music and this video loop of a helicopter shot circling the Jesus Save sign on top of the building. And he'd stone stare that TV camera and say, "You won't donate? Then take this." And this is what they'd hear as the fucking helicopter circled the building with a big neon sign.
I want to know.
I want to know that
yeah.
Jesus loves to be there.
But I do not want.
I do not want to be denied.
And I
want
to live.
In that
city.
That's enough for me.
Be alone.
People say, I got a heavy voice. That guy's got a four-ball voice. Makes Ike Turner sound like a castrata. Anyway, sure as hell, people would call in and throw money at Dr. Gene just to stop that goddamn music. And Dr. Gene had a thing for pointy chicks. I vividly recall a video of him and about six pointy babes in ankle straps and pencil skirts piling into a stretch limo for some giggles in L.A.'s night scene. I mean, what's not to like? He even married a pointy chick, Melissa, who has, since Dr. Gene left the planet back in 05, continued his ministry. Even now, Pastor Melissa is still pretty damn pointy in her severe black suit as she scribbles ancient Greek and Aramaic notes on her whiteboard. She commands attention. If you want to see a fantastic movie on the subject of evangelists, check out Elmer Gantry. Maybe the shittiest, most boring movie title ever, but trust me, Burt Lancaster and the pointy, steamy Shirley Jones, that's right, Mrs. Partridge, hot enough to melt the paint off the walls. And I suppose about now you'd like to know, what was Jesus' secret nickname? The one I surmise his buddies may have given him. Well, I'm going to tell you. Maybe it should not be termed a nickname so much as an earned name, a name he and only he could merit. That's major, considering an estimated 110 billion people have come and gone so far on this globe, and not one of them was worthy of this name. His name really was truth. He never lied, not even once. And he was killed for one reason only. He told the truth. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? There's a lot more to the story of truth, and I'll get into it in next week's episode. If you like what you just heard, Get over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and help support this ministry. If you don't, you're going to hear this until you do.
I want to know.
I want to know that Jesus loves to be there.
But I do not want.
I do not want to be denied.
I want to live.
I'll see you this Tuesday for the regular show where truth lives. Is it all beginning to make sense now? You thought I was just riffing, didn't you?
I do not want to be denied.